Today we have a presentation on working step 10. I'll turn the time over to Sarah.
Thank you, everyone. Can you hear me clearly up there?
What? Yes, we can.
Okay, interrupt me if I start drifting off, because that one time you couldn't hear me very well.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you all. I am feeling a little vulnerable, but, you know, I've learned to accept that that's just part of recovery and sharing one story. I'm going to open with a 10-step prayer that I found, and I rather like it, and it's rather fitting for me. I pray I may continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness, to take daily spot check inventories of myself, to correct mistakes when I make them, to take responsibility for my actions, to be ever aware of my negative and self-defeating attitudes and behaviors, to keep my willfulness in check, to always remember I need your help, to keep love and tolerance of others as my code, and to continue in daily prayer how I may best serve you, my higher power. So my prayer is that that this is not coming from me, because I don't feel particularly high in the expressed strength and hope, but I am a willing vessel, and I have accepted that I am perfectly imperfect, after all.
So Sarah, you're breaking up a little bit there. We couldn't hear that last bit.
Let me try it. Where is the speakerphone on this thing? Is it at the bottom? Does this help? I'm here?
I think that's better, yeah.
Okay, I'll angle it. So I'm perfectly imperfect after all. Step 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. I use step 10 currently as my gauge. How often, how willing, how committed I am to doing this step is a good indicator for me at where I am at in my recovery. I will openly acknowledge and admit that it's a day-to-day thing, and so that's why it is my gauge. I recognize that I'm very much in the process of this still becoming a habit, and it's more often that I recognize I have not been doing this step than I have. And it's just such a joyful thing when I realize, oh, I've been doing this and it's making a difference. That's sort of my caveat for my share. Well, let me start with looking at the words, continued. So this was my clue when I first started working the steps that this was going to be the ongoing part of working the steps. I kind of chuckled at my previous thinking when I first in a recovery, like, don't you just kind of get in, do the steps, and get out? And when I really looked at step 10, but continued and continued, I don't think that's a get-in, get-out kind of thing. So continued to take personal inventory. Personal, of course, is that I do my own inventory. Somebody else doesn't get to do the inventory for me, and do I not do someone else's? I've been reminded of that on more than one occasion. Not in a bad way, but just a reminder that that's not my job. So it's a personal thing. It's my job to do my inventory. The inventory itself for me includes the series of questions that I ask regarding my behaviors, thoughts, feelings, what I'm facing in terms of my daily behavior. It's usually a signal to me that something's up. So continue to take personal inventory, and this word when has only recently occurred to me that it's not and, just not and promptly admitted it. It's when we were wrong, because I was one of those people that was always willing, if there's an inventory, I must have done something wrong, so there must be wrong. It's just so I'm going to be fessing up and taking on, and that was more than the case in my marriage, for sure. But it's not often an inventory does not imply that I've done anything wrong. It's just I've done an inventory. In fact, just moments ago, I was reminded of talking to someone near and dear to my heart that an inventory can just be what's going on with me. Oh, I'm in halt. I'm too hungry. I may be too hungry, alone, tired. Hungry, angry, swallowing, tired, or hot. I be too damn hot. Well, there's nothing wrong with being hot. There's no wrong to admit. I also chuckled because I would have previously thought, oh, I'm too hot. Oh, I didn't take care of myself. I should have, I would have done the shooing and the shitting and the shaming. And it's sometimes just, oh, I'm hot. Oh, okay, let me just kind of turn on the fan. Let me get cool. Let me get something cool to drink. So the wrongdoings in the word wrong, that's what I call wrongdoings, or we might refer to our character defects or our shortcomings. The word promptly is key because it definitely emphasizes now, the importance of now. And I believe my attitude and the promptness of it is also another part of the gauge. Admitted it. For me, that means naming it and being specific, not just like, oh, I've been wrong in a general, generic kind of sense. It's more of the specific things that I have identified, like when we were working step four and being specific about those inventories, I carry that through to being specific now as well in my step 10. So let me share with you what it might look like in me working step 10 with my sponsor. Okay, so I call my sponsor for a check-in, and we're talking, and I tell her I'm not doing so well. And she says, oh, what's the matter? And I said, well, I really feel like I want to smoke, and I want to eat, and I'm kind of feeling a little withdrawn. Oh, so have you done a 10 step today? And I usually, at that point, go, 10 step? And then she'll say, yes, that would be really helpful. Have you identified what's going on with you? I said, no. Well, then we would work it together. And we go through a series of questions. Oh, where are my questions? Back here. Figures I put my questions away. My questions might include, am I fearful? Do I have a fear of something? Am I being dishonest? Or am I in denial about something? Am I being selfish? Is this all about me and my ego? Am I carrying a judgment? Am I feeling shame? Do I have a resentment or unresolved anger that needs addressed? And usually there's one or two or more of those things that have surfaced. There are some other questions, but those are the ones that in my world surface the most. So after we address those, we might then go on to other things that might be hidden. For instance, I say, yeah, I have a fear of failure. Well, then we might start looking at what the failure is and doing a, almost like a mini step four. It depends on where I'm at in terms of how bad it is, if it's just a momentary thing or if I've actually been here a day or two. But when I work this with her, I almost immediately start feeling some relief, partly because I have such a need for connection and I feel less alone, but partly because I've identified that thing that's held some sort of hold or bondage over me, meaning it's driving me in a way that I have not identified. So once those have been identified, I confess it and I admit my wrongs. I arrange for any amends, and then we move on to steps 11 and 12, which, of course, we're not going to address today. So my sponsor has been stressing for several months about my doing this regularly myself, that I would help a whole lot if I didn't wait to do it with her. that if I practice this daily, and when I do, that it will get easier and easier over time, and it will become less sort of work. I don't want to emphasize work, but it's we sort of have to go through the process often. But when I remember to start my day with a prayer, and I continue to do this step throughout the day, life goes so much more smoothly. So that, I can say, is my experience, strength, and hope about working this step. Now let me share how it might look when I do the step on my own, because it's slightly different. For some reason, when I'm working it with my sponsor, there's this kind of built-in accountability, and it's good, and I wanted to share that because as I look around the room here, I'm reminded that that's where I think a lot of you would be. But I have done it numerous times with my sponsor, and I have been doing it off and on for several months on my own, and I can get tripped up. And I thought I would share that experience as well. So step 10 on my own might look like this. Here's a conversation. So I might be having a conversation with someone who says, oh, what are you doing today? And I'll go, I'll finish work, and then I'm going to go to a meeting, and then I'll probably go out afterwards, and then I'm going to go home. And as soon as I say I'm going to go home, I get a little chest pain, because what happens to me is that fear of being alone has surfaced, and I probably want to ignore it, but by ignoring it, then it sort of starts festering, and I perhaps at times have been maybe obsessing, thinking about, oh yeah, I'm going to be going home alone. Oh, I hate being home alone. Oh, I wish I wasn't going to be alone. So that fear of is starting to work its way in me, often to the point where then I will, okay, I can't be in this fear, and I want to confess it, and I want to acknowledge it. So I've done an inventory, and I'm okay, this fear is not going to hold me anymore. And I'll say, wrote this out because it's pretty good. I'll say, okay, I'm going home to that big, empty, lonely house all alone. Oh, yeah, oh, dear, boy, don't I want to smoke. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should stop and get something to eat. Yeah. And then I might go to fantasizing. So my crazy making and my thing might even get caught up in this step if I don't do a full inventory. However, one of the good things about when I work this step is that it will start servicing other things in me, and I can do a full inventory. And then when I confess, I'm fully confessed. It's not just a hap, you know, kind of like, well, I don't want that fear. And I might say, oh, I'm not going to have, you know, God lift this fear of being alone from me. But now I'm getting to the heart of my shame, my crazy making, and so forth. And then I've identified additional inventory that I will want lifted and that I confess and pray for God to lift. So sometimes my shortcomings may lead to others, and I wanted to be thorough because I found that I have a better recovery and bounce back and stay there. So the point of that is that the more specific I can get, the better I have, I have in maintaining my recovery at that point. And the beauty in getting to step 10 is that it's like a restart button, and that I can do it as often as I need to. And the more I do it, the more it becomes habit and less work. And today I thought it's almost, the more you do it, the more you do it, it becomes almost like life autocorrect. Isn't that kind of cool? Like, that the people that I have witnessed and watched and talked with that have been in recovery a long time, step 10 becomes so much a part of their lifestyle that they're doing an inventory, confessing it, making amends, doing the wrong. It's almost like they're doing it, that I can see them autocorrecting on the spot. And that's a really good vision for me. Another thing that I've learned in doing the steps is to keep pressing in until I've uncovered that something that needs dealt with. Usually, it's pretty clear to me what's going on. Fears are often at work. Sometimes I need to do a bit of detective work, though. For instance, it might be I've learned to pay attention to my body. My body might be telling me something's up. And there might be a physical sensation, so I know, okay, I've got this pin in my stomach or chest, what's going on with me? And then I start doing some detective work. And what I realize is that sometimes even the detective needs an assistant, and that I can ask a recovery friend, or even better yet, go to my sponsor, and that's okay. That recovery is not, it's ongoing, and that if I have a need for help, it's okay. That I still call upon, I'm not alone, that it's all about, you know, moving forward and acknowledging where I'm at. And so if I am humble to the whole process and open to working the program, I know that I move along in the steps and in the process so much more smoothly. In other words, what I'm trying to say is sometimes if I don't look at it that way, I become my own stumbling block. So again, my sponsor tells me that the daily practice of this step, the more I do it, the easier it becomes. And I can acknowledge that when I haven't been doing step 10 regularly, that my issues tend to build up, and that often leads me back to step 1 of powerlessness and unmanageability. And I say that out loud because I recently came to that conclusion. And it's a reminder for me that this program does work. Even so, it's all part of the learning, and I can be gentle in accepting that my journey takes turns and stops, and I fully embrace it as progress, not perfection. But it is about the renewed commitment to just suit up and show up. With that, that's all I got.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you. I have a few more people here, by the way. That's what threw me off slightly. So, Claudia, are we moving to step 11 next week?
We're doing that 10-11 thing.
Okay.
Hopefully, Connie will do that.
Okay. That's purposely why I didn't go into any of that, because I was thinking something along those lines. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Excellent. Okay. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks.
Good night, all. Bye.